has rolled his way, I guess, into the Main Street studio. Matt, welcome back to Main Street.
Hi, Craig.
We get to review a film each and every week with you, Matt, and it's something I really look forward to. This film is maybe a little bit different in many ways, but it's certainly local. The film is AJ Goes to the Dog Park. What do you have to say about this film?
Well, I saw this at the Fargo Film Festival in March, and a couple weeks ago they had their world premiere with the distribution deal they have gotten, and that was at the Fargo Theater, and they're on a current tour of the U.S. Showing this movie. So really, I'm not going to do a full-fledged review because I know too many people in the movie. The producer, Ben Hansen, the director, Toby Jones, our friend Greg Carlson, who comes on this show from time to time, Concordia College film professor, is in the movie in a hilarious part that he has. Tucker Lucas, who I know, was the videographer on the film. So what I'm going to talk about basically is kind of where people can see this movie. If they didn't see it at the Fargo Theater, it is on like a tour right now, and I'll kind of tell where that's going. But the interesting thing here is that they got a distribution deal, and it's basically through Doppelganger Releasing, which is associated with Music Box Films. So I would say in the current day, Craig, it's a little easier to get a distribution deal than it used to be. Because, you know, it used to be, you know, you had to be one of the big studios, or, you know, you release it through independent films, that kind of thing. And it's tricky. I've often said making a good narrative feature movie is one of the hardest things to do in the world. It's amazing anything ever comes off because so many things can go wrong. This is a lower budget film shot in Fargo-Moorhead by friends. But it is amusing. I would say it's kind of inside the beltway amusing, kind of this humor between that group of friends that I just mentioned to you. Some people may not get it, some will. I'll briefly go over the plot. In humdrum Fargo, an ordinary man named AJ, played by AJ Thompson, wakes up on the right side of the bed every day, content with his mundane existence. His simple routine consists of buttering cinnamon toast for breakfast, eating dinner with his married best friends, and visiting the dog park with his beloved chihuahuas. However, his interruption of his tranquility happens soon, including a promotion at work, which he turns down from his dad, who's his boss. Unfortunately, the despotic local mayor has converted his dog park into a blog park, where happy dog walkers have been replaced with corporate stooges hunched over laptops, and hilarity ensues from there. It is funny in parts, and, you know, it's a low-budget film, and I give them all the credit in the world for not just making it and being satisfied to screen it at the Fargo Film Festival. Ben Hansen, the producer, who I know, I had him in class years ago at Moorhead State, really worked hard, he and Toby Jones, to get a distribution deal, and they got it. And I will say, if you have missed this movie, Ben tells me there will be a video on demand release soon. The Blu-ray will be out in October or November through a company called Cartoona, and it should be streaming by early 2026. So Doppelganger Releasing is one of these companies that tries to release films that aren't, you know, don't have George Clooney in them or some huge stars. So right now, after Fargo, the film premiered in Sioux Falls, then it went to Woodbury, Minnesota. They just got done with an Ohio run in Columbus and Cincinnati, and they're in Ann Arbor right now, and they'll be at the Music Box Theater in Chicago, and from there it goes to Iowa City, New York, Los Angeles, Boulder, Colorado, Austin, and Charlotte. So Ben and Toby have done a great job getting this film out there. My understanding is they're getting pretty good crowds at these theaters. I will say the humor is very Fargo-Moorhead-centric, so what I want to ask Ben when he gets back is, how did the film play with audiences outside of Fargo? That's a question I can't answer on this show because I've not been following them around the country on this tour. But I am wondering if the humor translates to Cincinnati or Columbus or Charlotte from the Fargo-Moorhead community. Not sure about that. That'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. But again, this is what persistence can do if people are persistent in the movie industry, because there's nothing more difficult than getting a distribution deal for a documentary, a narrative feature. It's almost impossible to get, Craig, for a short film. Short films are typically only seen at film festivals. So the film business is a hard business, especially in America, where there isn't really these overarching, you know, Canadian Film Board or the UK Film Board, where people can get money from the government to go make movies. That really does not happen very much in the U.S. The U.S. film industry is the purest form of capitalism that I can think of, one of the most pure forms of capitalism. you're on your own. You go into the film industry, there are no guarantees careers are going to work out at all. I've had a lot of kids in class when I've adjuncted film studies that want to be the next Steven Spielberg. And you know what? There probably isn't going to be another Steven Spielberg. So
sure,
if you can just work in the industry like some of these people that I've mentioned do, you can have a career. But it's important that they got this distribution deal, and I want to congratulate them. And if you have a chance to see it, it is an amusing, shorter film. And I think people, especially in the Fargo-Moorhead region, will find it amusing.
I have not seen the film, but as I understand it, and as you alluded to, Fargo plays a central mm-hmm. role in the story, almost like a character. It sounds to me, from what I've read about the film, is the city portrayed well? How does the community of Fargo come off in this film?
I think it comes off fine. I mean, it's people will be excited to see the locations. That's the one of the things I think is interesting when people watch movies that are made in the Fargo-Moorhead area or Grand Forks or wherever. They can spot the locations, and people kind of get excited about that because, you know, this doesn't happen in major films, you know, except the movie Fargo, which was not shot in and around Fargo, as you know. It's not a hotbed for filmmaking. There is no North Dakota Film Commission in the state. That's a long time, I think, issue that Margie Bailey and I have had with the state of North Dakota, is they really don't support movie making. And a lot of films could have been shot in North Dakota, like The Revenant or Fargo, had there been some sort of financial interest for a filmmaker to shoot here. So when there isn't a financial interest, they go to states that will make it easier for them to film. So Fargo-Moorhead comes off great. Greg Carlson's house is used in the movie, and I've been to his house many times. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a love letter to Fargo-Moorhead and kind of quirky people that kind of get into their normal routines of life.
Matt, this movie comes almost a decade after AJ's Infinite Summer.
Yes.
Is there a relationship there?
Yes. So the same group of people made that short film, which is a very entertaining short film that I've seen. Now it's been expanded into a feature. A lot of people weren't paid to be in this movie. They just did it out of the love of kind of helping out their friends. And I will say the performances are pretty good. You know, the woman who plays the mayor is funny. She kind of plays this evil mayor of Fargo who wants to ruin AJ's dog park. There's a gigantic demon that shows up later in the film who tries to destroy Fargo-Moorhead. So there's a battle that ensues there. Someone dressed in the demon outfit was at the Q&A at the Fargo Theater a couple weeks ago, so that made that all fun and exciting. So I urge people to try to see this, and they'll enjoy the locations and hopefully some of the inside the Beltway humor. What I'm familiar with, because I know these people, but some people might be a little baffled by the humor if they don't know Ben and Greg and Toby and Tucker, but, you know, I'm happy for them.
All right, Matt, what's coming down the line for our listeners to anticipate our movie reviews?
Director Ari Aster has a new film out called Eddington with Pedro Pascal, who seems to be in every movie right now this year. Pedro Pascal is in a lot of movies. And curiously enough, the other film I'm going to see soon is Fantastic Four, starring Pedro Pascal.
Right. So sure.
he's the man of the moment right now. Reviews are very mixed on Eddington. I told you a few weeks ago I wasn't sure how Superman and Fantastic Four would hit at the box office. Superman has hit big at the box office. Yeah. So that I think outperformed my expectations for that movie, and they cast it very well with David Corenswet and Rachel Brosnahan and Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor. I still see Gene Hackman in that part, but Bradley Cooper's cameo as Jor-El is interesting as well. A lot of good casting in that movie, especially Nathan Fillion as the Green Lantern. So if you haven't seen Superman, I think it's worth checking out, and I'm not a comic book guy by nature. But we'll see if Fantastic Four hits with Marvel or not. That's the one I'm a little less sure of. I thought Superman would hit pretty well. Not sure about Fantastic Four. We will see.
All right, Matt, we'll almost silently now advance to the trivia part of our review. What Oscar-winning film holds the record for the fewest spoken words by its lead actor, who still took home the Academy Award for Best Actor?
That is The Artist from 2011, and Best Actor went to Jean Dujardin, and I think his only words were "with pleasure" at the end of the
right.
movie.
At the very end,
yes.
Two words.
And two words. Best Actor. With pleasure, he says.
We've been to the movies with Matt Olean.